Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So before we get started, I'd like to beg the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I may be able to speak something substantial and tangible about Krishna, because it's only by the mercy of the Vaishnavas that anything can happen. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam today, Canto 5, Chapter 3, Text 18. Always have to make sure. You know? So there's no meter for this verse. another verse like this. So
Tata agni driye amsa kalaya vat tarishami atma turiyam anupala vamanaha.
So if anybody wants to go for it and chant it. Thank you very much. So,
tata,
therefore,
agni driye,
in the wife of Nari, the son of Agnidra,
Amsa kalaya,
by an expansion of my personal form,
avatarishami,
I shall advent myself,
atmaturyam,
my equal,
anupalabhamana,
not finding. Translation: since I cannot find anyone equal to me, I shall personally expand myself into a planetary portion and thus advent myself in the womb of Meru Devi, the wife of Maharaj Nabi, the son of Agnida. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is an example of the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although He is one without a second, He expands Himself by svamsa, His personal expansion, and sometimes by vibhinamsa, or His separated expansion. Lord Vishnu herein agrees to send His personal expansion as the son of Meru Devi, the wife of Maharaj Nabi, who is the son of Agnida. The priest knew that God is one, yet they prayed for the Supreme Lord to become the son of Maharaj Nabi, to let the world know the absolute truth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second. When He incarnates, He expands Himself in different potencies. Quite nice. Om gana tadidamna shaganandana slakaya takshu urmiratamyana tasmai shi guruve namaha shi chaitanya mano bistam stapita yena bhutare svayam rupa kadama yana tati svapatantikam jai shi krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shi advaita gadarhar shivasari gora bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So what a wonderful verse. And we're continuing in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which the fifth canto will cure you of every material desire you ever had, because it describes so in detail about the miseries that are awaiting for us in this world. As yesterday was so elaborately and so nicely described by Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu about the qualities of a Brahmin and about how in these former yugas, these Brahmins, you know, Krishna, you know, if they said Krishna will come, Krishna will come, you know, because there was the potency, there was the purity, like Prabhupada always says, purity is the force. And if we look, in even 500 years ago, we look at Advaita Acharya. He worshipped the Lord in a shalagram form with just some Ganga water and some tulsi and begged the Lord to come, and the Lord came. And then we look at, it's described in the Chaitanya Mangala by Lochanandas Thakur that when Ramananda Roy was doing his puja for his Didi, his own Istadev, his own Thakur, that he was meditating on the Lord really deeply with so much love and so much devotion, and Lord Chaitanya kept on coming into his heart. Right, and he was wondering what's going on, and then he realized that the Lord came and saw him. So you see that these devotees had potency, right? Of course, they were all directly from the spiritual world, and they came here to play out the Lord's pastimes. But still, by example, they show that by this purity that the Lord will manifest in front of our eyes. Now, for us in this age, what is the possibility? Because, you know, we're all sudras, Prabhupada says. You know, even Jnanivas Prabhu, he said to me one time in Mayapur, he said, I don't think it's possible to be a Brahmin in this life. It's just too hard and difficult. It's something you have to be born with, you know? So what's that to say of Jnanivas Prabhu, who's one of the most brahminical people in the universe, says that it's that he's not a Brahmin? What's that to say about the rest of us, you know? It's so difficult. So how? Because we see in Vrindavan so many cheating so-called Brahmins, you know? Like, I remember when I was doing Dandava Prikram around Govardhan, after Govindakund, there was this one panda following me on a bicycle, chanting so many wonderful Bhagavatam verses about the glories of devotional service. And then he said, Braj Basi Seva. Me panda, you give donation. Oh, no. Such nice verses, such nice devotional service. No, you give donation. If you don't, I curse you to never to come back to Vrindavan ever again. And I said, well, you know what to do. I can't give you any donation. Sorry, I don't have anything. I gave him some sand from Govardhan, and I said, this is donation, and he didn't like that. And he said, you'll never come back to Vrindavan again, right? And I went back to where I was staying, and I told the devotee, Devaki Pran Prabhu, I told him what happened. He said, don't worry, these Brahmins have no power anyway, because they're not following strictly their process, right? So this is how we get the Supreme Lord. For us in this age of Kali, this most degraded, disgusting age, because that's what it is. Let's, you know, we call a spade, as we say in America. You know, let's call it what it is. It's easy for us. Kali Kalera Namo Rupa Krishna Avatar Namo Hoita Haya Savar Jagat Nishtara. That for this age, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the incarnation of the Lord. And simply by doing so, one has direct association with the Lord. Right? So for this age, we don't have to do all these mantras and tantras and pujas and all these different things. We just have to chant Hare Krishna. Right? Prabhupada said many times, he said, don't try and see Krishna. Oh, that makes no sense. Why not try and see Krishna? He said, act in a way that Krishna will see you. Right? It's impossible for us to see Krishna, right? But it is possible to capture Krishna with devotional service. If we look at, take for example, Srimati Radharani, that what Srimati Radharani is actually Prabhupada's Radharani. It's Seva Kunjeshwari, the one who captures Krishna and engages him in her service, right? This is for this age, we can go out and give people the Maha Mantra, we can give people the process of Krishna consciousness, we can distribute millions of books in the Benelux, we can do so much, and in this way we're gaining the glance, the merciful glance of the Lord. In this way, we're actually making spiritual advancements. Like I remember for years, I was always trying to, if you ever go in front of the deities, they seem to never be looking at you. And maybe it's just me because I'm so fallen, but whenever I go in front of, even here at Radha Gopinath, that the deity, whenever I go and look at Radha Gopinath, he's always staring in another direction. And the other day I tried it, I went over here and he was staring here, and I went over here and he was standing that way, and I went into that corner and he was looking over here. And I was like, it's true. And I remember when I was, a long time ago, I thought, why is this? And then I thought, let me stand next to Prabhupada, right? And I stood next to Prabhupada and the deities were looking directly at Prabhupada. Right? Through this devotional service, through this serving the spiritual master, right? Then Krishna, we can capture Krishna. We can't do it on our own. Right? Every morning we sing. We sing all these wonderful, glorious prayers to the spiritual master, right? Guru Vandana, you know, we sing so many different things. And deity worship, there's so many different prayers. But the fact is that we're devoid of a lot of elements that we need in this bhakti yoga process. Like in deity worship, this is one mantra, mantrinam kriyahinam bhaktinam janardana. You know, forgive me for my lack of pronouncing mantras correctly. Forgive me for all these things. Even forgive me for my bhakti, my lack of bhakti, right? All of these things are there. So simply We don't have to. That's the beauty of the age of Kali, is that we don't have to be learned Brahmins, right? Prabhupada did not want pure Brahmins. He wanted pure devotees. There's a big distinction there. You know, he didn't want pure Brahmins. He wanted pure devotees that pushed on this Krishna consciousness movement. Right? Otherwise, it's like it's just nothing but a two-pesa thread that makes a great keychain. You know, this is what the Sankirtan mission is for. This is the qualification here, what I'm getting at in some roundabout way. The qualification is we don't have to know millions of verses, right? We don't have to know the intricate rasa tattvas. We don't have to know any of this. We just have to be fallen. It's true. That's our qualification in this age, is that we have to be fallen, which we all are. And then if we're fallen, then we are given the mercy of Shishi Gaur Nitai. Right? Think about it. Nitai went and delivered who? Jagaya Madai. You know, such fallen, degraded people. Right? And that was their qualification to get the mercy. To realize that we are fallen. To realize that we're devoid of many nice fragrances in many different ways. That we're devoid of love in the heart. We don't even know how to love our friends, let alone love Krishna, love the Guru. it's a mind-boggling concept, you know? This concept that we have of love. Right? Like sometimes, you know, everyone said it at times. I love my spiritual master. I love my husband. But actions speak louder than words. You can't just say I love. You can't just say with all false humility, you know, and say, oh, Krishna, and take the mood of Prabodhananda Sarasvati and the Chaitanya Chandramrita and say, oh, cheat, cheat, cheat. You have given the nectar of the holy name, but yet, my Lord, I am so fallen that I can't even taste one drop in a mood of false humility. No, you have to actually understand that we're fallen. And that we're just doing our best by the mercy of the pure devotees, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And in this way, the Lord will come. Right? It's like, you know, we can do a show of hands and we can see who here believes that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. Everyone will raise their hands, you know. Who believes Lord Nrisingadev appeared? Everyone will raise their hands. Who believes that Radha Gopinath on the altar is Krishna? Everyone will raise their hands. Who believes that Krishna can lift your heart out of the material suffering? Everyone will put their hand down really quick. You know, I'm not too sure about that, because that means I have to give surrender. It means I have to develop unconditional love. That means I have to actually dive deeper into the process, much more deeper than just chanting minimum a number of rounds and reading once every 6 months, if that. Meaning that I just do devotional service, but I just do it just to fill my belly and have a roof over my head. Right? There's a deeper meaning to this Krishna consciousness movement. It's just like you have the eyes. The eyes, they do what? Can they see inside your body? No. They can only see outwards. Food. When you put food in your mouth and it goes past your tongue and into your esophagus, what happens? You don't taste it anymore. Right? Hearing, you can't hear what's inside your body, but you can hear everything out. Right? You can't smell what's in your body, but you can smell everything outside the body. Sometimes you wish you could smell on the inside, because it probably smells a lot better than the outside, especially if you've ever been to India. You know? So, but why is this? Because it's much easier to look externally, to look internally. Krishna consciousness is an internal process. It's about realizing that Krishna, as the Super Soul, the Paramahamsa, the expansion of the Lord, is inside your heart. And it takes time. Like it says, Rome wasn't built in a day. Right? It's a process. It's a movement. Prabhupada used this term, this Krishna consciousness movement, which means you have to move. Either you go forwards or you go backwards. It's up to you. Either you go forward in the process, or you go backwards in the process. You always are moving, never standing still. So here we see how wonderful this Bhagavatam is, especially this fifth canto, because this fifth canto is such a heavy canto. I was telling somebody earlier, I remember when I first time I came and I heard Bhagavatam class, it was talking about the nine gates of hell, and I was like a young kid, and I had the nine gates of hell, and how this world is just suffering, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, you know, what did I get myself into? This is such a heavy canto, but it's also such a purifying canto. These pastimes and leelas from the Srimad Bhagavatam, they're not just for us to read, you know? It actually describes in many places how just by sincerely reading and hearing these pastimes, one is cleansed of all material desires. The 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it goes to the general study, the general summary, is, I believe, the 12th chapter. One of the verses in there says, just by hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, one doesn't take birth again. The process is here. We just have to dive into it. And then before you know it, what happens? We start to see Krishna everywhere and in everything. And at times, Krishna shows it to us. Like we're in Kirtan, and like the other day I came in here and there was like a Gaura Arti from the moon planet. It was like, I mean, people were running back and forth, and it was just like, it was really cool, actually. And for that moment, these people were lost in the holy name. They were lost in the chanting. For that moment, Krishna manifested in the form of that holy name. But what he does, he manifests for a little bit, and then he slams the door in your face to keep you wanting more, to get a taste. And we've all had it. We've all had the way where we really feel that the Lord is right present with us at certain times, certain aspects, at certain situations we go through. We really feel the Lord is dealing with us directly. Like, I was listening to Manu Prabhu and Nimai, and well, Vishwambar Chaitanya, and they were saying how last year, on Jamastami, you know, Krishna's belt fell off on the altar, and Manu started laughing, and then Manu's dhoti just fell off. Like, you know, it was tied completely, and it just fell off. And he grabbed it really quick and picked it up, and then Vishwambar Chaitanya started laughing at Manu, and then his dhoti fell off, you know? And he said, I can tell that Didi was directly chastising me, you know, like, don't laugh at me, I'll get you back. And when I get you back, it'll be worse, you know? So these are just small examples we see the Lord dealing with us. Sometimes even on Sankirtan, we see that the Lord sends us such, like I call them, sweetie pies, you know? These people that just come and they just take and take and take, they just want Krishna and want Krishna and want more and want more. And I call them the sweetie pies. For every mean guy, there's two or three sweetie pies that show up and make your day so blissful. Right? And even in our exchanges with other devotees, we can see this and we can feel this, that the Lord is guiding it somehow. Right? That we can see it. It's just that we choose not to act on it. You know, I say often there's no obstacles in devotional service, just opportunities to dive deeper into your attachments to Krishna. It's just about wanting to. And the easiest way to do that is to go out on book distribution. Go out and preach. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, no one's more dear to me than that person who spreads my mercy, that spreads my message. No one is more dear to me. Why? Why is this such an important thing to preach? Right? From this preaching come the necessary realizations one needs to progress in their Krishna consciousness. Because this preaching forces us. It forces us to read the books. Because despite how we personally feel, Prabhupada wanted us to read these books every day. There's how many ways? 53 ways that Prabhupada said to read his books. You can go on Vanipedia and see. And one of them is daily, at least, what is it, 1 hour a day also in the association of devotees, scrutinizingly, from all angles of vision, all these different ways, right? So when we're giving people Krishna, naturally, we dive deeper into the process. If you look at how all of our senior Vaishnavas today, all our gurus, all our sannyasis, all our wonderful temple presidents like we have here, how did they do this? It wasn't just by sitting and being a bhajan anandi and just chanting Hare Krishna all the time. It was from pushing the movement. This is where they gained the strength. Because Prabhupada's directly Prabhupada's directly showering mercy down. Not saying that if you do deity worship, because Prabhupada said no service is better than another service. They're all wonderful and glorious. But we have to understand that we have to do something to win Krishna's attention, right? It's like there's a huge Sankirtan party, and Lord Chaitanya's in the front with all of his associates. I mean, just in your mind, picture it, you know. Advaita Acharya is dancing. Vakeshwara Pandit is dancing for 72 hours, you know. Nityananda Prabhu is dancing, right? And our Acharyas are in that inner circle. And then as you go, it's like any other Harinam. As you go backwards in the Harinam, people become more miserable. Until you get, it's true. You ever go on Harinam and you look from an, you know, look from a you know, neutral perspective. It seems that from the beginning of the Harinam, everyone's fired up. And as it gets past the kirtan leader, it goes down a little, and it goes down. And by the time you get to that last person, he looks like he's being walked to the electric chair. You know, really, he does. He looks like, man, they're forcing me to be out here. I don't want to be out here. The last person always looks completely miserable for some reason. You know? So it's a huge Harinam. This Gaudiya Vaishnavism is a huge Harinam, right? And we're in this Harinam. We are in there. Lord Chaitanya is directing our preaching, directing our Krishna consciousness. We're in this Harinam. It's that we have to choose whether stay in the back and look like we're being walked to the electric chair or somehow get into the inner circle of Lord Chaitanya. Right? We have to strive to go to this inner circle of Lord Chaitanya. To get the dust. Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki. I mean, look how beautiful the deities are. How could we not want to share their beauties with everyone we meet, you know? So these are different ways that we can get the Supreme Lord to manifest for us. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur once told, one of his sannyasis said, Guru Maharaj, I want to know the intricacies of bhajan. And he said, okay, go down to the gardener and go see the gardener. This is a big sannyasi, you know. Go down to the gardener and go take instruction from him. And so sannyasi said, this must be a joke. So he went down to the gardener and he said, Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada said that we should come down and I should take instruction from you on bhajan, on the inner meanings of Krishna. And he said, I don't even know how to read, you know, what can I teach you? And so this sannyasi said, this must be a joke, he must be, you know, testing me. Okay, so he went back to Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, and he said, Guru Maharaj, you know, how can he teach me? He doesn't even know how to read. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, go back and go and learn about devotional service from him. So sannyasi went and paid dandavats to this gardener. And he said, Prabhupada said that I should learn from you. He said, I don't know what I'm going to teach you. All I know is that I grow these flowers, and I grow them really nicely for Krishna. And when they get offered to Krishna, I feel very happy in my heart. And this is the whole meaning of my life. Right? And the sannyasi understood. To make Krishna happy is the meaning of our life. This is why it's said in the Sad Goswami Astakam, why the Goswamis were absorbed in Gopi Bhav. It wasn't because of Siddha Deha, it wasn't because of, you know, of doing Lila Smaranam or all these different things. It was because they were always absorbed in how to serve the divine couple. Right? This is what we have to come to. Prabhupada did not want us to simply sit and just not advance. Right? Because ultimately, when it really matters the most, we want to see the Lord at the time of death. That at the time of death, whatever one sees, you know, or whatever one thinks of, that state of being he attains without fail. So this whole life is just one big preparation. Because at the time of death, we want Krishna to manifest in front of us. Right? Like, I was recently in Russia, and Govinda Maharaj played a joke on me in a class. And he said, "Oh, Parthasarathi, he just got married, you know? And he's always talking about his wife. And he's always remembering his wife." He said, "Oh, he's talking about his wife. And he's always in contact with his wife." And he said, "From Shravanam and Kirtanam comes Smaranam. He's always remembering his wife." And he embarrassed me really bad in front of all these people. It was like 1,000 people there. And I was like, "Oh, Krishna, you know?" And he said, "Oh, I got you, you know?" I was like, but it's true. From Shravanam and Kirtanam comes Smaranam. It says in the Prema Bhakti Chandrika, from hearing and chanting comes remembering. This is what we want, remembering in our hearts, remembering that our hearts are overflooded with Krishna. Where everywhere we go, where we see it, not as sometimes when, I remember when I was a young book distributor, if somebody didn't take a book, I'd be like, "Okay, maybe when you're more spiritual, then you can come back and get one." You know, and like, you know, and I didn't realize, actually, you know, Bhrigupati Prabhu in Los Angeles taught me, you know, he taught me that when somebody doesn't take a book from him, he looks internal and he says, "What didn't I do today? Did I not chant properly? Did I not read enough? You know, did I not pay obeisances with my heart?" And he really like goes internal and doesn't, this is what we have to do. We have to realize that the Lord is in us and develop that relationship. Not just simply like parrots, you know, not mechanically, but with love and devotion. That with love and devotion, engage in this process of Krishna consciousness. With love and devotion. And in that way, we can become empowered to spread the Sankirtan movement. Kalikalera Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan Namahai Tahaya Sava Jagat Nishtara Krishna Shakti Vinanahe Tavapavatana. Yeah. Krishna Shakti Vinanahe. We can become empowered by Krishna to touch every single person with Krishna consciousness. And tomorrow and today, today is another opportunity. Tomorrow is a wonderful opportunity. Summer festival. Everything, it's becoming a spiritual oasis. Vrindavan is manifesting in front of our eyes. We'll have bhajan tent, question and answers with Kadamakanana Swami. Right? We'll have books. We'll have little gopi dots being painted on little girls and little boys. We'll have all kinds of prasadam, all kinds of things happening. Right? To force people to see Krishna. It's like 007, you know? Agent Bond, you know? I'm Bond, James Bond. No. We're like secret agents in Lord Chaitanya's army. Going in and infiltrating Maya, right? And dragging the casualties back with us. Not leaving. When I was in an army, I was in this 75th Ranger Regiment, which was Special Operations. And we have one of our sayings was, never leave a comrade to fall into enemy's hands. As Vaishnavas, it's the same thing. Never leave a conditioned soul to fall into Maya's hands. Right. Beg, borrow, and steal them. Any way possible, get them to come. Get them to surrender. Get them to be your friend. We have to do something for Krishna. The time is coming. The Prabhupada disciples are leaving the planet, and soon, there will be actually people that join this movement that never even met a Prabhupada disciple. It's hard to believe after 40-something years that soon there will be no more Prabhupada disciples left. Right? It's a scary thought, but it's also a very exciting time period because now it's time for younger people to step up and take charge. And so poor Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu can get a break and he can, you know, relax and, you know, he's so, you know, doing so much service. So much for one person. So let's do it. Let's like really, like Nike said, just do it. Go there. Make an effort to see Krishna within ourselves. Make an effort to see Krishna that actually every living entity is a Vaishnava, as Gopa Kumar says in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says, real humility is seeing that every living entity is more advanced than you are. You know, realizing every living entity in the material world has Krishna in it. It's a hard, it's really a really deep, you have to be very advanced to understand that. But it's like anything else. If we just keep on telling ourselves, we'll start to believe it. You know, we'll keep on, you know, it's like, it's called muscle memory. We keep on telling ourselves, Krishna's in, even if I don't like the person, Krishna's in there. And eventually we start to see it and we start to believe it. Right? It's just like we've heard so many times, we're not the body. So, well, 95% of the time we still don't believe it, but we know it's true. So, what do we learn from this verse? That it pays to be fallen, and life in one sense is easier in Kali Yuga to see Krishna. Because the Goswamis say, the most wonderful part about Kali Yuga is just that we have to chant the holy name. Right? We don't have to do all these other things. That's why Lord Chaitanya is so special. Because Lord Chaitanya has given us Krishna Prem in such an easy way. We just have to want to take it. We have to want to take advantage of it. And this is everyone, myself included. It's not like we all have to want to take advantage of the mercy. The mercy is available for everyone. Every day you walk in here, right? And if you walk in here during the sunlight, you'll see there's dust flying everywhere. I mean, devotees don't understand. Sometimes we're constantly bathing in the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Every time we touch our head to the ground on this temple property, devotees have walked on there, and we're getting the dust. Prabhupada made it so easy for us. He said, Krishna consciousness is so easy, you just might miss it. Right? Just gotta hear, just gotta chant the holy name, dance like a mad woman and mad guy, right? Take prasadam, right? We don't have to be like the Brahmins in the 10th canto that are so absorbed in their ritualistic yajnas that they don't even understand that the Supreme Lord himself is asking for something to eat. And then what do they say afterwards? They say, to hell with all the ritualistic activities if it keeps me from remembering, it keeps me from seeing the Supreme Lord. We have to want to see a Lord. And we have to cry to see the Supreme Lord. And this way he'll manifest. Prabhupada guarantees it. It's not that I'm saying anything that is different than Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you know, this is all from Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada says, if you just follow this process, you can become a pure devotee. Like I was listening and the other day to a morning walk, and they said, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, my glories will be known when all my disciples are worshipped all over the world. He said, then those are really my glories. Right? This is what he would like for us to take out of this. So I think I'll end here. I've jabbered on and long enough. Any questions at all? Nope. Madhu Gopal usually has a question. He's in Samadhi. Anything? Okay, well, forgive me for the lack of presentation or not being able to talk such a philosophical class. I'm not so smart. So let's just take today an opportunity, Harinam, tour programs, Hari Bhakti's book table, tomorrow's summer fest, and let's take it as an opportunity to get conditioned souls back to Lord Chaitanya. Right? Let's take it as an opportunity. Because this is really what pleases Prabhupada, and this is really what pleases Gornitai. That people come and chant and dance for them. Especially these Gornitai deities, because they're just like, you know, they're just like ecstatic looking. they look like really, they're like having this amazing cure. Every time I see them, I'm like, wow, they must be having amazing kirtan because like they're, I mean, they just look so blissful and like really in ISKCON, and these are my favorite Gornitai deities because they just like resonate, you know, ecstatic symptoms, you know, they're just like, you look at them and you just feel like, wow, what are they doing right now? Right? At least that's what I look at them. I'm like, wow, their outfits are always pulled out like they're in the middle of like Gaura Nataraj dancing, you know, they're doing the same thing, you know, they're dancing around the altar. And let's bring people so that they can see this beautiful movement and that we can see Krishna's beautiful lotus face. All right? Yes, Hari Bhakti Maharani. Well, the thing is that the mind, you know, the mind is the worst enemy. It's just your mind. Your mind is getting mental and saying, oh, you know, I'm working so hard. And I mean, really, you know, we are working as hard as we can, but we can always work harder. You know, just like we're always happy, but we can be happier. You know, we can always push ourselves a little bit more. So this, by hearing and chanting, then we're able to combat the mind. You know, we're able to like beat the mind down and say, no, no, you're not going to get me down. Get away from me. Get away from me, stupid mind. Get away from me. You know? As devotees, we don't hear and chant enough. Like we just, majority of devotees, speaking for myself too, I mean, we just Bhagavatam class and, you know, okay, that's enough for reading and chanting for me. You know, we don't really take, you know, we can absorb ourselves a lot more. And from this absorption, then the mind cannot affect us so much. Then we can keep on going with our service. You know, that's why, like, whenever I have a hard time on book distribution, I just sit down and I just read the Bhagavad Gita for 20, 30 minutes, you know, and I just, like, feel ecstatic. I'm just like, okay, you know, okay, the mind's under control for at least 5 minutes, and then I can go out and try and distribute a book or two, and then, you know, got to work on it again. It's a constant struggle with the mind. It's not just, you know, it's not like in 10 years you're going to like be, mind will be totally, no, it's a constant struggle, right? But if we have the ammunition to fight it, hearing and chanting, you know, loving exchanges with the Vaishnavas, then the mind can easily be subdued. We might not see a difference. Like one time I asked Jayadvaita Maharaj, I said, Maharaj, you've been in ISKCON for like almost, you know, this was a few years ago, so almost 40 years or something like this. What's the difference between your chanting then and your chanting now? And he said about 37 years. That's the difference. I don't see any difference, but I've been chanting 37 years, so that's the difference between the time. Meaning that we won't see it. We won't see our advancement. And if we say, I've seen my advancement, then that means we're puffed up and we're actually not advancing. That I am advanced now. I'm so advanced, you know, it's like, so just engage in hearing and chanting. You know, like you're out there reading, you're out there, right, doing your book table. Why not listen to a lecture while you're out there? You know, or why not read? Why not, you know, grab one of these devotees that are walking around like a space cadet sometimes, huh? And say, hey, come here and read out loud, you know, like, you know, this is, like Vaisheshika Prabhu told me when he was on traveling Sankirtan as a brahmachari with Keshava Bharti Maharaj, he said it was him, Keshava Bharti Maharaj, Dayananda, Dayanidhi, Jayananda Prabhu, when they were all on Sankirtan, they would pack themselves in this van, and from the time they got in the van and to the time they got in the airport, they would read out loud to each other and discuss. Then, on the way back, when the other devotees were sleeping in the van, they would again read. Then they would go back to the temple. They would take prasadam. And then they would do what? Read again. And even today, to this day, if you ever go to his house, he takes a big, huge speaker like this. I think you've seen it, or you've seen him do it, you know. And he puts the speaker outside the door, and he reads Srimad Bhagavatam out loud into a microphone, so the whole neighborhood becomes purified, you know. So, and now he's even taking it one step forward. where in every room in a house there's speakers, so that when he just sits on the couch and just reads Chaitanya Charitamrita, everyone in the house is also reading Chaitanya Charitamrita along with him. And you see the advancement there. This is how we control the mind. By not dilly-dallying, by actually like getting in there. Did I answer the question? Yeah? Okay, good. Hare Krishna. Any other questions, comments, concerns, political statements, anything? Yes, Prabhu. I once asked a senior Prabhupada disciple, very senior Prabhupada disciple, I said, how did you know that if you were making advancement back in those days? You know? And he said, because we were happy. We were happy, you know, we were always happy. And if you do, you look at the pictures back in those days, you never see a sad face on Harinam, you never see the electric chair guy. Everyone, you know, there's this picture of Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu. If nobody knows Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu from Vrindavan, he's maybe like this big, and he's, you know, maybe a little tall, and not much. But and he's this old cranky man, and he's been cooking for the deities for 26 years or something like that. And he's the most sarcastic person you'll ever meet. And there's a photo in his room of him jumping like 3 feet in the air. I didn't even know Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu could jump, let alone 3 feet in the air. You know, and you see he's just completely ecstatic. You know, so it's like, if we don't see the advancement, we just have to look at ourselves and see if we're happy. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, if you're not having fun in devotional service, you're in Maya. Because devotional service is supposed to be joyfully performed. You know, it's only when we think we're the controller of it, or we have, then we get upset about things, but who cares? I'm engaged in Krishna's service. So that's how we can measure our advancement, by how happy we are, without saying, I'm so advanced. Just saying, wow, I'm happy. It has to be because of the process. You know? So you have to look at yourself. That's why I say, it's at times you have to go introspective. You have to look at yourself in an honest way. Because to be able to get past the Narta Navritti means you have to recognize that you have anartas. And not just in a falsely humble way, saying, oh Prabhuji, I'm so fallen. No, but actually know that you have these anartas. And once you do that, then the battle's half won. Then you start to make the advancement, because you're not saying, I have no anartas, nothing's wrong with me. I mean, I could give a list like that long of my anartas, and my wife could probably give a list double the size of all the things I do wrong, you know? Like, it's just a fact, you know? Like, we know that there's stuff wrong with us. We just choose to hide it from ourselves, not from other people, because they can see us. They can see what's wrong with us. They can see these things. But we hide it from ourselves. That's why it's an introspective process also. But just look at how happy you are. Just smile. Like devotees, we're scared to smile for some reason. I mean, really, you look or walk around and people, you know, are just like they just sucked on a lemon, you know? And you know, it's just like, we're scared to smile and be happy. We have the most wonderful process, we have the most wonderful deities in Europe. What's there not to be happy about? So you can measure advancement by how happy you are doing your service and how steady you are. Because advancement means steady. Doesn't mean one day you do this, one day you do that. It means steady. Steady. That's advancement. That's what means real advancement, steady. Okay, so I think we'll end here because it's already after 1:45 and I don't want the tour program to come in here and hit me because I'm scared of Guru Padma Prabhu, so... Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sorry.
that there's no mic. But the question is,